The following is a RackRadioShow.com exclusive.
WildTalkRadio.com. He's Rock. I'm Lindsay, and we're back with episode 3, the aftermath of the breakup. Okay, y'all. This was intense and heartbreaking, and I maybe got a little misty-eyed at points because I feel like a lot of what you and I have talked about on this show and offline, because we actually do talk about this show offline. There's a lot that doesn't make this show, or we just express more personal feelings. But yeah, a lot of what we have discussed has kind of come to light.
It really has.
It was really interesting. Is going to get used a lot tonight. You could probably take a shot every time we say the word, because just of all the emotions and realizations and everything that came out with, it's like, oh, hey, we've talked about that. And oh, yeah, we saw that coming. And there was a lot of it in the relationship and in the breakup and the soul searching and all of that that came out. Especially on Nikki Bella's side. This was very much, obviously, a Nikki Bella-focused episode. John Cena was not in it a lot because they had broken up. So the episode opened with them at the hotel. And it pretty much picked up right where it left off last week. With them in the hotel room, like I said, they've just dropped the bombshell of, I don't think we should go through with this. And we see more of that conversation where basically Cena kind of goes a little bit into robot mode, which I feel like is his defense mode when he's going to be emotional, is he sort of just shuts down and kind of does an automatic response while trying to contain his emotions, because you can tell because he does get upset. Mm-hmm. At several points he does kind of tear up a little bit, but he just sort of like pushes it down because he's trying to be John Cena. So I feel like that's what his natural defense mechanism is, which that's, I can understand. I kind of do that too, so I feel for him. It sucks, but Cena kind of mentions how he brought this up before, and, you know, he kind of knew this was coming, and Nikki said that she thought she was doing really well with it, but, you know, Birdie being born just made her realize that not having children isn't an option for her anymore. Like, she was okay with it, and she even mentioned that, you know, she was going to therapy, and she was pushing the feelings back, and she was really going where, you know, she felt like she was okay, and Cena said a lot of Cena's response to this I really, really liked, because you can tell that he doesn't want her to go into a bad situation.
No, he's looking out for her best interest, even if it's not to be with her.
Right. And so he tells her, this isn't about you repressing feelings. I don't want you to do that to be with me. I want you to be honest with yourself, and I want you to be honest with me. And you shouldn't be, you know, setting things that you want aside.
And to be fair, he's been saying that since day one. He's always wanted her to be honest with him from way back when, even when, you know, moving in together and everything like that. He's always pushed honesty, 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 and she always hides her true feelings at points, which always blows up in her face at times.
Yeah, I mean, they've always kind of had communication problems, and Nikki later on in the episode admits that a lot of this is her own doing because she's a people pleaser and she's just trying to do what everybody wants her to do. But in the end, she has to look at what she wants for herself. And she realized this is not what she wants. She loves him. She wants to be with him. That is not the issue at all. The issue is, can she spend the rest of her life alone? And the answer is no. She can't do that. Not for John. She can't sacrifice having children. She just can't do it. And we said this, I think the first episode, we've said this several times over, that, you know, again, marriage is not the issue. Giving up marriage is not a problem. Giving up kids, that's a big one. And her not being allowed to even have a pet, that's what's making this probably even more difficult for her.
She wants a companionship, and it was a theme throughout this episode about where she talks about companionship and the need for it. Like, after the big, you know, meeting in the hotel, and the next day, it's like, it was her first time with, you know, not being able to at least speak to John Cena, and having that person to talk to the next day. And there's one other point throughout the episode, and we'll get to it, where it's like, She's truly by herself now.
Yeah, it's hitting home that she's alone. So the outcome of this entire conversation between the two of them, and it's incredibly adult. It's very civil. There's no animosity. There's no anger. There's no hatred. There's no nothing. Is the wedding is off.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to do it. And, you know, Nikki apologizes for basically screwing everything up, and Cena's like, you know, you haven't done anything wrong. And that's what makes it so difficult for him, is it's easy when somebody does something wrong, either somebody lies or somebody cheats or whatever, because you have something to put the blame on. In this, there is no blame. It's her true feelings, and he is respecting her true feelings, which you really have to admire.
Yeah.
And then they basically settle out who they're going to tell, and he lets her know, you know, just give me the list, and I will inform those people. And the decision is made that they are going to keep it within the family, and the family only. And there's only select people within the family that they're going to tell. Obviously, they're going to let the wedding planners know privately what's going on, and obviously the camera crews, because they were there.
Family.
He knows, because they were there.
Family and camera crew.
Family and camera crew, all of which I'm sure have signed non-disclosure agreements, and that basically the wedding is off. So they, you know, they still love each other, and they kiss each other goodbye, and they do that, you know, one final kiss thing, and then we see John Cena. They tell it in storyline that he pretty much leaves immediately after the breakup. I don't know how soon after the breakup he actually left. There's no luggage or anything with him that we see, so I'm not entirely sure how that all went down. But after he leaves, Nikki texts her mother and asks her mother to come up, and she tells her mom that they broke up. And as Kathy comes up, John and Kathy, you know, kind of have a moment off camera. You hear the audio of it where they're saying goodbye to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, you can tell this is really hard on everybody, because, you know, they all, Kathy loved him like a son. I mean, my God, he was with her daughter for 6 years. You know, he was family.
Right.
At that point. So they have a very heartfelt moment. And then mother and daughter have that same, you know, have another moment where Nikki feels like, you know, she asked her mom if she's done the wrong thing. And her mom's like, no, you haven't. It's better to figure this out now than later. And that's something that Cena states as well, is that it's easier to deal with it now than to have to undo what we've done later on.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of getting a divorce. And her mom's like, this is going to be super hard, and you're going to question your decision. And, you know, the next few months are going to be really difficult for you, because you're going to wonder. But you know, you have to stay strong in the fact that you have made the right decision right now. Now things can change, and you guys can obviously get back together and all that shit. But, you know, in the end, right now, you have to realize that you've made the right decision. But, and Nikki basically is like, she felt herself growing distant, and she was having these cold moments, and it wasn't fair to him that she was having these cold moments, especially when he started calling her out on it.
Yeah.
And noticing them. Mm-hmm. Like, it was that point that she was that distant and that cold that he was like, hey, are you okay? And she was like, I just couldn't let him write that check.
That big check for the wedding.
Knowing that this is how I felt. And, you know, like I said, she still wants to be with him, but she wants him to be the father of her children. But that's not an option.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to lose him. But again, that's not an option. He's set up this decision where it's him or it's pretty much nothing. And it's not like that, where it's like, well, you know, she has to pick. It's, and he says this, that this is the decision that I have made, and I have to live with it. So for him, it's, well, yeah, he could have kids. He can go back on his decision, but he doesn't want to. So the consequence of that is he loses Nikki. That's kind of what I meant by that. I should probably explain that better. But so that's where they're at, is that, you know, Nikki has to lose John because John's not going to go back on his decision. And Mama Bella is sad about it, but she's happy that Nikki is finding herself again.
Yeah, she's happy that her daughter is sort of handling this maturely and, you know, all that stuff, which is good.
Yeah, and that's the one really nice thing about this, because you see so much in reality TV of screaming and shouting and throwing things and people getting over-emotional and overreaction. This was very quiet and relaxed and calm, and it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that about this, that it was a much more quiet breakup than what we're used to.
Yeah, it was.
So we cut to Nikki and Mama Bella and pretty much everybody leaving the hotel. Again, they make it seem like it's the same day, and I'm pretty sure it was the same day, because it's like, there's no point to be up there if
Nikki was still in the same outfit, so.
Yeah, so there's no point in staying up there if you're not going to get married, and it's just kind of a painful reminder, so it's like, okay, all right, we're going to leave. So Mama and Nikki go to Bree's house. While they're in the car, Nikki texts Bree that they've broken up, and we didn't see Bree's reaction to this.
Which I'm kind of upset about.
I'm kind of upset about, but I'm kind of not upset about it, because I'm sure Bree was shocked, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but it's like you wanted that instant reaction. You wanted to see what she thought of it.
Yeah, and she was probably like, oh, no. But
you wanted that unfiltered.
You wanted the unfiltered, and we got the filtered reaction, which was Bree basically said that she got about 15 text messages from her sister, and she was reading through them, and she knew it wasn't good, and then she was really stunned that Nikki and John had broken up. So that was Bree's little sit-down spiel about what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we arrive at the house, and like you said, Nikki talked about waking up the next morning without John and how it was her own space and just her space and how difficult it is and how hard it is not to talk to him because they both agreed for the next few days, we're just going to give each other space. We're just going to figure it out. You know, let it all sink in. Let us process what happened. And then we can talk about next steps because, you know, she brings up the fact that they just bought the house. She brings up, you know, that, you know, all the things that they share together and how she's got to move. She's got to find a place to live. They've got to handle telling everybody about the wedding at some point, you know, all this stuff. And it's like, Bree's like, well, do you want me to call the girls and cancel the bridal shower? Like, what do you want to do? Nikki's like, yeah, let's cancel the bridal shower, but don't tell anybody why.
Which is hard to do.
Which is really hard to do beyond it's, you know, you for her, you can come up with something where it's like, hey, look, we've got to cancel the bridal shower. She's got a thing. You know, we're going to reschedule it at some point. But right now, her schedule is just like, you know, something came up in her schedule. And that's what you have to kind of say, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately. But that's what it is. And Bree's kind of sad that John's going to be all alone because she doesn't want him to end up alone because, again, he's like family to her. And we see Bree have a kind of raw reaction where Bree is very upset. Like, they're all... The general response is they're all very upset about this.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of...
He was family.
Yeah, he was family and their brother and everything. It was all sadness. It's like, there's one point they mentioned, like, they were already married, even though they weren't married because they've been in each other's lives and it's one life and everything like that. Yeah.
And we've said that before. It's like, they live together. They share houses together. They've been together 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were essentially married without being married. So that's why it's like he was so against it. It's like, but you guys already are. It's just sort of academic at this point that you do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the kids was always the bigger issue because it's like, well, but you're already kind of married. You know, I could get the kids. The kids is the bigger sacrifice, but okay, whatever. It's drama for the show. That's kind of how you had to look at it.
Right.
And John apparently sent Nikki a text that when Nikki has a kid, he wants the first thank you.
I thought that was just, wow.
I was like, damn, that's cold.
A little cold.
Mean, props to him for, like, sticking by his guns on this one, I guess, and, like, or his decision. I don't know, though. That's, like, kind of, it's like, that's not the thing you text someone right after you sort of split up.
That was, yeah.
I mean, I just, wow, that was cold. And then Bree's got Birdie and Birdie's sitting there laughing and they're like, Birdie, it's all your fault. You just had to go and be the perfect baby and give Aunt Coco the feels right for babies. They're like, why couldn't have you been the baby from hell? And she's just sitting there smiling and cooing because that's what she does.
Mm-hmm.
And Nikki states she doesn't want to go to Raw 25. She doesn't want to go to the Rumble because it's going to be weird. But it's like, you got to do the thing. You're booked. You got to go.
Yeah.
It's like, just sort of, you know, be professional, which I know they can be, and do it. You know, just do it and get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting about this is then we cut to Bree, and Bree's going to get her hair done for Raw 25 to get her extensions put back in. And they don't want to tell JJ right away. Or rather, Nikki doesn't want Bree to tell JJ.
Yeah.
And he's stopping by to visit Bree as she's getting her hair done later, and so it's going to be really hard for Bree not to say anything. But I get, you know, Nikki probably wants to tell him in private, but I think a lot of us have guessed that, like, one of the sources that's really close to Nikki Bella is the brother, and he's kind of been feeding everything. I don't want to make, like, accusations, but I think a lot of us have sort of guessed that maybe he's one of the ones that's, like, feeding the press info.
Possibly, yeah.
Could be completely wrong on that. If I am wrong, I do apologize. But yeah, I just, you have to wonder if they're not telling him for a reason. Mm-hmm. Beyond Bree, Nikki wants to be the one to tell him and not Bree. But anyway, Bree goes and gets her hair done. She wants to feel like Bree mode and not Bree mom. And of course, you know, she looks fabulous and all the hairstylists are like, oh my God, you look so good. And she does. They do a wonderful job with her extensions. They blend them, make them look perfect. And she's like, I look hot. I look really hot. You know, she's like, I look good. So she's feeling all good about herself.
Oh, I want to mention one thing about the secrets thing. It's like, Brian was like, why do you guys have so many secrets?
Because that's what you do. That's what women do. We have secrets. Secrets and lies.
Clearly.
Just secrets. Or it should be just secrets. So anyway, we kind of cut to, we get a little break from the drama. Because like I said, this first half of this episode was just like really super heavy. Because again, it's all breakup stuff.
Yeah.
We get a little break from it where Bree and Brian have decided that they are going to move to San Diego or at least have a house in San Diego. I don't know if they're giving up the Washington house or what the deal is. But basically, they've opened the Birdie Bee offices in San Diego and Nikki is going to potentially be staying there post-breakup. And that's kind of what prompted this is with the breakup is Bree's like, well, Nikki's going to live somewhere. So I guess she's going to live with us for the time being until she can find a place. So we have Bree and Brian and Birdie shopping for a house. They go to see one that's kind of in a canyon. It's sort of cabin-y. It's got like little guest cabins with it. And it's a hike to get to the guest cabins. And Kathy's like, can you imagine your sister hiking through a canyon in her heels to get to the house? And Bree's like, no.
No. She's like, I gotta put the needs of my family and Nikki ahead of my own.
So they go see this really cute mid-century modern house that has lush gardens and is all modern on the inside, and they both really like it. And they decide, hey, you know, and Bree's like, I told them we're interested before we saw it because there's a lot of interest in the house. And Brian's like, really? Mm-hmm. Really, woman? And she's like, so can we get it?
It's like she was trying to pull a little guilt trip on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, he likes the house. But there was the one moment where they're touring this house. The nice kitchen. Had two walk-ins to the master and a big bathroom. So Brian goes, I could be showering in and you can come use the toilet and you can watch me.
Marriage. Marriage in a nutshell.
Bree was not too pleased with that comment, but, you know.
She's like, yeah, like I always do.
Uh-huh. Right.
And like I said, there's a fig tree. And then the monumental question. How much? Right? Brian wants to know how much is it? Like, because he's looking around and he's doing the numbers in his head. And he's like, how expensive is this? And she's like, oh, it's in our price range.
Don't worry, it's in our price range.
Without, you know, mentioning how much it actually is. And you just see Brian's face. He's like, so basically they decide on the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get back to the breakup and we have the sit down interview with Nikki where she's talking about it and she's trying to deal with it. And she said that she felt like she became a yes girl, that she was just trying to please everyone and that she was sort of caught between being her character and being herself. And her character is fearless. Her character is not afraid of anything, but herself as a person, she is not. And she feels like post-breakup coming out of it because when they did the sit-down, not sure if this was one of the reshoots or what this was or where in the time frame they shot this, but she said that post-breakup, she's becoming more fearless, that she's coming back into her own and she's rediscovering herself.
And she's sort of becoming fearless Nicole rather than just fearless Nikki.
Yep. So then we cut to her doing a Birdie Bee photo shoot where she's in lingerie and looking all cute and hot and sexy and all this stuff. And everybody's asking her about Napa and John and congratulating her on the wedding. And she's just having a really hard time because, you know, she's trying not to say anything about the breakup. And she's not liking how she has to put on a fake smile and live a fake life. And Bree's like, you know, you'll just take some time. And that's what Nikki's trying to do. And Bree knows that Nikki's just trying to put on a brave face for everybody. And it's just, it's an awkward time. Because again, they're trying to keep it within the family that the relationship is over. And by the way, Nikki's still wearing the ring.
Yeah, she's got to keep up appearances.
They're keeping up appearances at this point. They're not quite ready to go public with it yet. So it's hard for Nikki because it's like she's trying to deal with all the stuff and all this emotion. And at the same time, she's having to be like, oh yeah, we're totally together. It's fine. We're so happy. See how happy we are? Fake smile. So that's, she's just having a really hard time dealing with it, and she doesn't want to. So I get it. I completely get it. But yeah, so now we're at Raw 25. Nikki does not want to be there. In fact, she just kind of wants to do the segment and get out.
Get out, yeah.
And Bree's like, that's what we're going to do, because why not? Anyway, John hasn't reached out to her, and Nikki's a little bothered by it. And the quote is, work gets crazy, and I get forgotten.
Yeah, that's a...
That's telling.
That's a very telling quote right there.
Very, 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 very telling, which is, again, probably stemming to more issues with them. So it's, I don't think it was just, you know, obviously it wasn't just the fact that they weren't going to have kids together. It was also the fact that she really never saw him, which we've mentioned before, and that she would be forgotten like this, where he would, you know, they would talk, but maybe not a lot, or as much as she would want.
They would talk, but she was always second.
Yeah, work always came first from day one, and he was very honest about that. Like, that's the thing, you can't fault him.
No, he's always been very upfront about it, very honest.
So, and the other telling quote is that Nikki says that she feels like she's living a fake life, because again, they're keeping up appearances, they're pretending like they're together, and people asked her, you know, hey, did you see John on the Today Show? And she's like, oh, no, I missed it. I overslept. You know, I took NyQuil last night, and I slept through my alarm. And she's like, oh, darn, you know, kind of thing. When in reality, she just didn't watch it.
Yeah. And Titus was the one who asked.
Yeah, Titus was the one who asked, and so she's just trying to please everybody. And we kind of cut to Bree and Brian, and Bree needs to go pump, and Bree and Brian are kind of flirting and kissing and talking to each other, joking around, having a good time, when, well, John and Nikki meet behind them.
Conveniently.
And Bree's like, keep talking to me, so that way it looks like we're talking and we're totally not spying.
And then Brian's like, it's weird, but he goes, do you want me to follow the milk out of your boobs?
And she's like, no. And I should point out that when they meet and they're hugging, John Cena's hand goes right on Nikki's ass. I don't know if anybody caught that, but yeah, just boom, there it
was.
Well,
it's natural.
Is it?
For him?
Is it?
For him?
I mean, I know you're keeping up looks and appearances and everything, but you're not together?
He still wants the benefits?
I wouldn't... no. Put your hand up where it needs to be, son.
Well, he put it where he thought it needed to be. He probably thought she needed it. I don't know. Maybe she was having a good ass day and he was trying to compliment it. I don't know.
She did look cute in those pants. I will say that. Her outfit did look, like, super cute. She was wearing, like, this red jumpsuit. So, yeah, she did look good. Can't blame him, but, yeah, I'd be like, get your hand up. And John basically just wants to do the right thing, and so does Nikki. They really miss each other. And John's like, you know, well, do you want me to tell the camera guys to go? And she's like, yep. And so they go, he dismisses them, and of course we still have the audio because I haven't turned that off, and they talk about how much they miss each other and how weird it is, and when they're ready to talk, they'll talk. Because John was like saying that, you know, well, I kept checking my phone to see if you were going to text me and you never texted me, and Nikki was like, ditto. Like, it's just been a difficult time for them not to speak to each other.
Yeah.
And so, again, Nikki is having very mixed emotions because, you know, it's like she has to be there. You know, it's like she's worried that somebody's going to figure it out or somebody's going to see that she's faking it. And it's like, what if, you know, Joe Schmo down the road sees it, or what if Vince sees it, or, you know, what if somebody figures it out? And she just doesn't want to deal with it. And she doesn't want to screw it up because they're putting her in there with some of the most iconic women in WWE. Mm-hmm. And I would like to point out, two of those women, when they were showing the full segment from, and I know they weren't going to show the full segment, but it's very interesting, two women got cut out.
Which two?
Maria Kanellis and Mrs. McTaker.
Tara.
Although she was in the wide shot, and she was in the photo shoot, or in the group shot.
Terry Reynolds wasn't mentioned either.
Or, I'm sorry, yeah, three. Terry Reynolds. She was cut out too. Which I know they're not going to, like I said, I know they're not going to show everybody. I just found it interesting that those three.
Well, you saw Maria. There was a shot of Maria. There was a shot of Michelle. You really didn't see Terry. But you saw... They just didn't show their entrances for... They showed Kelly. They showed Maurice. They showed Tori. They showed Jacqueline. They showed Trish having intros.
I just found it interesting that they really didn't... They actually made an effort to really not show Michelle and Maria and Terry. Like, there were some instances where they couldn't avoid it, but, like, when they were doing the intro shots, you can tell that they intentionally did it to not show them. So I'm not sure if they just didn't have releases for them, or they didn't want to be shown, or for time, or whatever. I just, like I said, interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Very, very, very interesting how that was all done. Mm-hmm. And then right after, John Cena does his appearance, and we see Jimmy Fallon in the crowd, and people ask Nikki, oh, do you want to watch Cena? And she's like, no, you know, we're tired, and we want to go. And so Nikki leaves as Cena's in the ring, doing his thing in the ring, and kind of the closing comment is Nikki just wants to see what she gets out of life.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot more soul searching in this episode from Nikki Bella, and she basically mentions how she changed herself to be with John Cena, and she became somebody that she really didn't like. Like, when they're having dinner, and she talks about, you know, when she started reality TV, she was one way, and then it was like, you can't say that, you can't talk like that, you can't dress like that, you can't be that. So she changed who she was to fit this new role.
Mm-hmm.
And she morphed into someone that she didn't necessarily like, and she kind of became a fake version of herself. And she's tired of being that fake version of herself. She wants to be who she is. And she just felt like, like a shell.
Yeah.
And she's tired of being unhappy, and she's tired of being distant. She's just tired. She wants to go back to being who she is, which I respect. Because you saw a lot of the old Nikki come out in this episode, especially in the sit-downs, which you could tell there was enough time past them where she had done enough soul-searching that she knew what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And that fire and that spunk that we know Nikki Bella to have was there, which we haven't really seen for a long time.
Yeah.
I would feel like. Because she sort of became this very reserved person. Reserved for her.
Yeah.
That's the best way I can say it. But yeah, like I said, this whole episode was very, very heavy. It was really intense. And just some of the revelations that came out, it's like, yeah, I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
And we could just see how grating it was on her, mm-hmm. on Nikki.
Yeah.
And how she just couldn't deal with it anymore. And good on her for realizing it. You can't blame her.
No, you really can't.
And that is the whole thing in this. There is no blame.
There is no blame. This is what life is, the cards life is dealing. And they have to sort it all out. She has to sort out what she really wants. And she knows it. And she just has to really come to grips with what is most important to her, and we're seeing it unfold in front of our eyes.
And here's the thing. Nikki Bella could have a child if she wanted. She doesn't need John Cena or anybody else to have a child if she so desires, if that's what she wants. But it's the question of could John accept her having a child potentially from a donor and it not being his? You know, that's the big question. Like, they just have a lot that they have to iron out and they have to work out, which is why I'm really curious to see how this season is going to proceed. Because as we are all guessing, at some point, they did get back together and the wedding did go back on. At least we think that's what happened. So it's like, well, but if her position was she wants to have children, is it something that he relented and then he went back on his word, or she caved and she decided, no, this is what I really want? Or is it that they just kind of only got back together for TV's sake and then they announced they were calling off the wedding 3 weeks before, knowing it was already called off? Like, there's a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions, which I feel like is what makes this season so good in a sad way. Because, like, how did this all play out?
Yeah.
So, any thoughts?
No, I think you pretty much covered it. It'll be interesting to see where it goes from here, and I want to see the reunion between the two. I want to see how they handle that. And that probably won't come until another couple more episodes, but I get the feeling it's going to be interesting how they compromise and how they get back together. Because right now, if you were her, it's like, why get back together? But we'll see why she eventually agrees.
Well, it's a really difficult place to be in, because it's like, you want to be with that person, you've been with them for 6 years, and it's got to be scary as hell to come out of that long of a relationship and suddenly you're on your own again, and everything you've relied upon isn't there, and so you have to find a house. She potentially has to find a car or, you know, a mode of transportation, depending on if he keeps the Land Rover or not. Like, because they aren't married, she isn't necessarily entitled to anything he's given her. Now, he can let her keep it. I mean, I'm sure he would. He doesn't seem like that type, you know, at least with her, he doesn't seem like that type of guy. You know, his ex-wife, that's a different story. But for her, you know, it's like, he doesn't have any use for the Land Rover, so she could probably keep it. But still, you know, they have the house in San Diego. What are they going to do with that? Does she get to keep it? Does he sell it? You know, where does she go? You know, what about work? you know, because they have to see each other at work. That's super awkward. And again, how do you explain it all? It's just, for her, it's got to be a nightmare. And for him, too. But I think more on her, just because it's like, they've been so open about it. And she, in particular, has been very public about it. Mm-hmm. He has been public, but less so. He usually is very mum on the details. She's kind of putting it all out there. So now it's, this is all you said that you've wanted is to marry him, and you finally got the ring, and then you back out. And she has completely valid reasons. There are, you know, to not marry him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that. But it's just, for her, it's got to be a nightmare in terms of all of the stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the easy thing to do is to save face and just get back with him. And just swallow your pride and just do the thing.
Yeah.
And deal with it on the other side. But clearly that's not what happened.
Yeah, clearly.
As we all know. Although apparently they're supposedly back together again.
This week. What happens next week? Who knows?
That's what's being reported. I heard she commented on it, but I never saw any comments from her. Mm-hmm. So, who knows?
Stay up to date on The Rack Extra and The Rack every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, as we'll cover the story when more details break. And check out this show every single week, The Rack Extra Reviews, Total Balance, right here on RackRadioShow.com and WildTalkRadio.com. Rack Radio Show on the Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, and Instagram at WildTalkRadio on the Twitter, Facebook.com, WildTalkRadioWork.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LNSWRD. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. This has been the Rack Extra Reviews Total Bellas right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be back next week with episode 4. Till then, bye!